Hello everyone, welcome to the next episode of the Life at Apollo podcast. Today I'm here with Apollo's lead DevOps architect. Hello Paolo, thanks for joining me today.
Hello Shanice, thanks for having me today.
How are you feeling? Nervous?
Yes, you can hear by my voice that I'm quite nervous. It's first time recording, so let's see what will happen.
It's my, I'm not sure, fifth time, sixth time, and it's still the same, so don't worry. We are all nervous. Yeah. You know, you have to fake it until you make it.
yeah, that's a good strategy.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump right to the traditional first question, and that is, how long are you part of the Actum company?
Yes, I started in Actum in February 2016. So for 5.5 years, I'm working here.
Wow.
And yeah, it's interesting company.
All right. So you are like decided to stay with us, with Apollo.
Well, yes. And also Acton decided to stay with me, right?
yeah. Exactly. We find the match. That's the important thing. We clicked.
Yes. It's going well. Yeah. It survived Corona.
Yeah, it is. But it was actually expected, no? Because the technologies are on the rise, so... I would probably say that.
Yeah, I hope so. In Actum, when I moved long, let's say 5 years ago, mm-hmm. it was a little bit different than now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we improved a lot, mm-hmm. so that's why I'm mm-hmm. still here.
Sure. Okay. Next traditional question that I ask everyone in here is, how did you get to your current position? What was your career journey?
Yeah, I'm quite old, so I started.
Yeah, Paolo is like 100 years old, so.
I started long time ago, uh-huh. and I as a child I played a lot of games and I wanted to be a game developer,
uh-huh.
but that time it was quite difficult. This, mm-hmm, let's say, this scenario in mm-hmm, Brazil, mm-hmm. it was not quite, but very difficult.
I think it's everywhere pretty difficult to be a game developer.
Yes. Today it's quite easy,
yeah?
Right? We have access to more things. That time it was only magazines or,
yeah.
you know, it was not
yeah,
just
yeah,
go to YouTube and find something.
No tutorials.
Yes. I started developing something, some websites,
mm-hmm.
like when it was just the text blinking and...
Yeah.
And this marquee's moving website. And I went to university. Actually, I found a job,
mm-hmm.
Where I was working with infrastructure. So I was cleaning, basically.
Uh-huh. And you did study the information technologies. Was it your major?
Yes, but that time it was called data processing.
It sounds like you are putting some cards in a machine, you know, to get a few dots on a piece of paper. So.
Yes, it was almost like that. But before that, I found a job as infrastructure, so the name is beautiful, but I was basically cleaning computers in a big industry.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Every day I had to open those old desktops and clean stuff. actually my boss there said, come on, go to university.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going, but yeah, I was, I don't know, too young.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to this development,
mm-hmm.
and in my last year I joined the company,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it's how it started. Then I was going for new topics, new technologies,
mm-hmm.
and I worked in interesting projects,
mm-hmm.
and then I came to Europe to
mm-hmm.
study English. Actually, I studied in England,
uh-huh.
and it's quite far from Brazil, right? Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So
but where is the British accent there? I cannot hear it.
I don't have it. Yeah, I don't know how they speak with that accent. It was quite hard to study there, but I managed. Maybe that's why sometimes I mix the accent with some I don't know, I mix words.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but there are like a lot of difficult accents. Sure. I would say.
Like my accent, for example.
Well, yeah, that's okay. I think we all understood. Okay.
Yeah. So going back to that topic, mm-hmm. I was working in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Then I came to Europe as tourist, and I met a friend. Mm-hmm. We studied together in Brazil, and he was actually working in Acton, mm-hmm. right? So I went back to Brazil, and we have open positions here. Why don't you try? And then it's how I came to Acton.
Ah, nice. So the friend hunting story again ends well.
yes. It was by, let's say, accident. I met him here in Prague, mm-hmm. actually. And I had 3 days in Prague, this when I came first time, 3 or 4 days, and I met him like that. Oh, you are here? Yeah, I'm here.
Nice.
So if something happened in Acton, it's his fault, not mine.
He planted the bomb and left.
Yeah.
All right. But now there you can see how the like few days can change the whole life.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't probably be in Prague right now.
Exactly. And in Acton, I started as a developer and sitecore developer. Mm-hmm. And we went to a project, and in that project, it was necessary more and more meetings and requirements and discussions. So I was moving from development to kind of software analyst, mm-hmm. business, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to stay in technical position. So somehow Sitecore was moving also to the cloud, mm-hmm. to the Azure, mm-hmm. or Azure. Everyone says different.
Yeah.
And then, or it's just my accent again.
No. If you play the fundamentals video, you will hear it in 6 different versions, I would say.
Yeah. And then when Apollo started, we had few discussions with Martin, and mm-hmm. and somehow this area appeared, and it's an area that I like. I work with cloud and Azure, mm-hmm. and then we saw the DevOps, mm-hmm. the magic of DevOps. Mm-hmm. You know, this it's like a trend now appearing, and we do not need that to work mm-hmm. better, mm-hmm. let's say. So I started to get more and more into DevOps, and then the DevOps appeared in Apollo. So it's, mm-hmm. it's how it happened, how I ended in this position.
Nice. So you are passionate about DevOps. Now the work is your passion.
Well, I like to work with that. Yeah. Because in our, let's say, IT area, you have to learn new things every day. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of how it should work, like following some mm-hmm. process, but at the same moment, it's very flexible, mm-hmm. and let's say powerful, all the beautiful mm-hmm. words. So yeah, I do like working with that.
So Paolo, as you described, you are lead DevOps architect. So what do you actually do? Because I want to explain to people who are not into IT business, or they are just starting or thinking about it, so they can probably catch the idea what are you currently doing, or what is the work description?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So for this position, before to be, I wasn't lead. Mm-hmm. I was the developer. So I was developing the process, basically. So implementing the process, how we take the software mm-hmm. and deliver it to the client. Mm-hmm. And once you are into that, you also need to plan the infrastructure, or you need to decide or create the whole process that will take the software and make it or put it in this infrastructure, and mm-hmm. it will work like that. So now that we are small mm-hmm. team inside Apollo, we are 3 people in this DevOps area. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So our main goal now is to make sure that we can deliver faster and better softwares to the client. Mm-hmm. So for example, we are analyzing environment and proposing like improvements, mm-hmm. or we are guiding some developers how they should do this or that. Mm-hmm. Not about their work, yeah, because it's a different thing, mm-hmm. but how we can help them to deliver this faster. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we have is that we need to get more and more into the architecture thing. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand as a general or all the options you have. Mm-hmm. So when we have a meeting with the client, usually, as our colleague Indra mentioned, usually they think their system works in this way and they think they have A, B, and C items. Mm-hmm. But when we start talking, they don't have it. So, or it's a little bit slightly different. So mm-hmm. one of my functions or in my team is that we will understand and try to understand the infrastructure, mm-hmm. and try to make it, the development process go better or even improve. Mm-hmm. And when I say improve, I say like we can, we are based on metrics. So mm-hmm. for example, we can check the whole life cycle, if it's mm-hmm. software is getting better or slow, mm-hmm. or we need to maintain. Mm-hmm. So all these kind of things mm-hmm. we are doing here.
Mm-hmm. All right, and one question that pops up: do you have to be like a backend developer to get to the architecture to like understand the solutions better?
I don't think so.
Because it seems like it. Every time I'm talking with the, you know, the solution architects, if it's cloud or DevOps, they are coming from the .NET positions.
Yeah, but you don't need. The thing is that it helps a lot when you have the background mm-hmm. of development and we start learning mm-hmm. more. Because one thing that happens, if you're a developer, sometimes you are, let's say, specialist mm-hmm. in something and you get very good on that topic mm-hmm. and then you move to different client and it's something totally different. Mm-hmm. But as you have this background, it's easy to move to architecture yeah. because then you start learning more generic stuff and you can understand the more things outside the development. Mm-hmm. So we need, for example, we need to have amazing infrastructure to run this software. Mm-hmm. Then you go there and say, okay, but this amazing infrastructure costs, I don't know, 5,000 euros per month. Mm-hmm. And then the client says, okay, let's have an amazing, but with less that's not so expensive. So mm-hmm. all this stuff, we have to also deal with that. It's not just development, yeah, let's say. But, you know, the development is totally different word. Mm-hmm. It helps. Answering your question. Yeah. Sorry, I was going around.
That's completely okay. I would like to understand, but yeah, you proved what I was thinking. So yeah. Okay. Next traditional question, and that is, how was your first year at Apple?
Well, it was quite good, mm-hmm. But with Corona times, I spent
it's a little bit different.
Most of my time at home, but it was really good. I mm. think that, as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm in Acton since 2016, mm. and I can see the difference now. I think that we improved a lot, mm. and Apollo is good, let's say, to use as example, because we have more freedom here to do the things, mm-hmm. and we are trying to learn a lot, mm-hmm. and not that our director is pushing us, but he gave us freedom yeah. to do that, and I think mm-hmm. this is better because he doesn't need to push us. We, mm-hmm. we if we try to do it, so it's not that micromanagement thing. So
yeah, it's not right.
So I think Apollo is good because of yeah. this, but I'm looking forward for this year working in the office. Next year, I think.
Yeah, sure. I think everyone is looking forward to meet colleagues again. And yeah, you were right. Actually, Martin is not micromanaging us. And with the freedom, he also mentioned that there is a responsibility. So he teaches both ways. And I think it's quite unique. And it is working so far.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think it's one of the best things in Apollo.
Yeah. Okay, I think that there was enough of a work for today. So, since you mentioned you come from Brazil, what makes you to stay in Prague? Not just of work, but what do you like about Prague the most? And which city are you from?
Yes, well, first question, why I'm still in Prague besides work? Well, I like here. I like the way life is going on here, and I like beer too, so I have, let's say we have many options here.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's pretty different from Brazil, right?
Yeah, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. Regarding the beer, mm-hmm. actually Brazilian beer, it's a Pilsen type,
we
call it like that, but for Czech people, I would say it's light mm-hmm. beer, mm-hmm. looks like water for you. So beer here is a bit different, and I like the, let's say in Czech Republic, I like the country, I like the things, but I also like to travel, and here it's quite easy to go to other places.
To travel.
And what was the second question?
Which city are you
from? Where I'm from. Yeah. Well, my city, it's called Novo Horizonte and means New Horizon.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's a city in the countryside of São Paulo state.
Is it by a shore?
No.
You don't have a beach?
Well, let me answer that carefully. We have a beach in São Paulo, right? Mm-hmm. São Paulo is a state and also a city. Mm-hmm. So in the São Paulo state, we have beach. But my city is the opposite side.
Okay.
I'm 6 to 7 hours from São mm-hmm. Paulo by car or bus, and maybe 8 hours from the beach, something like this, by car.
Well, it's like your region is bigger than whole Czech Republic if you ride from one city to another for 6 hours. It's like from one end of the Czech Republic to another.
but it's still São Paulo state.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I'm talking about. It's not the whole country, but your state is as big as ours. Yeah. Or just from one city to another.
I used to go to university near my city mm-hmm. because my city didn't have university that time. Mm-hmm. And it was 1 hour by car to go to university and 1 hour to go back because it was a different city. And for me, this was so normal. And when I moved from Brazil and I was talking to other people, they were a bit shocked that I had to travel like that, like 100 kilometers to go to school.
Yeah, but it's not unusual in here as well. My friend was traveling to high school to Pilsen every day, and I was also going mm-hmm. by bus for 45 minutes to school. Okay. So it happens also in Czech Republic.
And my city is, it's famous, not famous, but...
You are known for?
Yeah, we have football team there that was famous in the past, like in Brazil. And we have one of the best rodeos in Brazil.
Come on. So how the football team is called, if it was famous, huh?
It was famous in Brazil. It is called Novo Horizontino. That means from Novo Horizonte, from my city. It's yellow and black. So looks like a bee.
or how is it the German one? They're also having the yellow and black.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
Martin will
there is one in South.
I don't know.
there is one in South America called Peñarol. It's the same. Mm.
Yeah.
But actually our mascot is a tiger, so not a bee. Sorry.
They will
kill me.
Just mispronounce colors.
All right. And my city is very dry, so our winter usually is 10 degrees and our summer is 45 something.
Oh, nice.
We have sun every day. Yeah.
And no work.
Yeah, I miss
8 hours to beach.
I miss thunderstorms, because during the summer we have summer storms, thunderstorms, and they are quite strong in my city. So, 2 p.m. the sky is black and you have this for 1 hour have rain. Uh-huh. I miss that.
Yeah, the air is wonderful afterwards.
Yeah.
I love that too.
you're right.
And do you have some mountains there as well, or are you just like flat and dry?
It's flat. Yeah? We have. I can't say that it's a mountain. It's basically flat, mm-hmm. and my region it's a lot of farms, mm-hmm. so it's quite flat.
Oh, it could be nice. It's countryside, nice.
Yeah, it's okay. It's
you
good.
Forget the 40 degrees.
Yeah, it's okay. It's good. You get used to that. Today when I go there, it's terrible, mm-hmm. because I moved from my city. Mm-hmm. I would say, oh my god, 16 years ago, and so I go there only for mm-hmm. vacation. And it's good weather, but you can feel it.
Yeah.
Like my parents, they are it's a bit hot today. I'm
melting.
But when I was living there, it was fine.
Yeah, actually, I have the same thing with when I was growing up in Alger, or my father was taking me there quite often, so I stayed there like for half a year and then I go back to Prague. Mm-hmm. So I was used to those hot temperatures, but now it's like 30 degrees in Prague and I'm dying on the street.
Because when you move here, you think, oh, it's not so hot. Hot is my country. Hot is my city. Mm. Then you have like 33 here sometimes. And yeah. then you are, what is this? What is this? Yeah. I think your, let's say, mind changes the uh-huh. perception. And then you start melting. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Paulo. And what are the favorite parts of Brazilian culture, except of beer and football?
Oh, we have to record another podcast just to talk about that, because it's so big. Yeah. I don't know the north of Brazil. I've never been there. Mm-hmm. So I was basically only in the south part. Mm-hmm. And we have so different things there. That's one thing I like from Brazil. Mm-hmm. Because you see from the people, right? I mean, everyone can be, let's say, Brazilian. It's so mixed that you have, my region was mainly formed by Italians, then the south by Germans, the north by Netherlands, mm-hmm. or another African countries like Angola. So all this mix in one country. So you can imagine the food.
Yeah.
Food is, each state of Brazil, you'll have amazing food, uh-huh. amazing yeah. food. I don't know how to name them. So there is one called feijoada, that is basically beans mm-hmm. and pork mixed together, and it's so good. And mm-hmm. one good thing of Brazil, it's music. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, outside of Brazil, I think that is just the Brazilian pop songs.
Yeah, sure.
But inside Brazil, we consume a lot of national music, and our rock is good, mm-hmm. Brazilian rock. We have, I would say, good reggae, mm-hmm. kind of country music. We have that in Brazil, like my city is like Rodeo, right? Mm-hmm. So we have this. So I would say music, food, people. If Brazil would be a little bit safer, mm-hmm. it would be perfect.
But yeah, it's not for a culture. And I know that you are actually quite informed about the Brazilian events in Czech Republic, and you are attending them. So yeah, is there anything you can recommend?
Oh, next month, that is the, or this month, yeah, that is the Brazilian movie night mm-hmm. in the Bioco. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I didn't check the movies, mm-hmm. but don't expect some blockbuster, because usually it's movies from festivals, you know, mm-hmm. alternative movies. But it's sometimes it's good to know. And there is a big Brazilian party in Brno mm-hmm. every year for 2 days. It's not a party, it's like festival mm-hmm. or something. So you have many Czech bands mm-hmm. that they went to Brazil and they learned how to play Brazilian music, and they play in Czech Republic. And it's quite, it's really good.
Uh-huh.
It's really good. If it wasn't by the accent, uh-huh. Sometimes they think some Portuguese, Brazilian songs, uh-huh. and if it wasn't the accent, you would say that is the same band, because the rhythm is good. So okay, this event in Brno, during summer there is in Novi Smíchov, mm-hmm. every Sunday there is a Brazilian kind of barbecue, mm-hmm. With some, there is a group of Brazilians here, they organized a restaurant, mm-hmm. And they were organizing these barbecues, mm-hmm. where you have dancing lessons, mm-hmm. like something like this. And
so you're dancing there?
Oh, I'm drinking there.
Okay,
and eating.
But how come? I think, you know, everyone has this perception that every Brazilian should dance, you know? You are dancing everywhere, so come on, you have the biggest dancing festival in the world.
I think it is somehow in our blood, because we watch that since we are kids, you know, everywhere, mm-hmm. everywhere.
Sure.
But I would say I'm terrible dancing, but I try sometimes.
Yeah, but that they told you in Brazil, here no one can dance, so here you can pretend that you are the one of the best, you know. If there's no other Brazilians, you can pretend.
Actually, Chanis, this is good idea. Next time I will present myself as professional.
You see? That's it. Okay. So I expect that you will include few of those Brazilian songs in the top 20 playlist, which we will present next week.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. And also I will actually ask you about the Brazilian events, and I will link them on our Instagram page as well. So
everyone can see it. That's good.
And what is your favorite dish if we were speaking about the food?
Czech or Brazilian?
We can do both. Okay. What is your Brazilian and then Czech?
Well, Brazilian, I have so many favorites. I do like that feijoada, mm-hmm. but it's one thing you don't eat every mm-hmm. day because it's heavy. Well, what I like when I was living in Brazil is that we have this colorful dish. So you must have all colors in your plate. That means it's good. So my favorite one was rice, beans, steak, and salad with tomatoes. So you have all colors together. Like, and this, for me, it was amazing. And in Brazil, usually when you go to restaurants, mm-hmm. like you are working and then go to restaurants, we have this place we call self-serves. It's like a buffet, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they have the meat from the skewer, like mm-hmm. barbecue. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So this is my favorite one, but I have many other favorites, if you understand
mm-hmm.
me. And one thing I like it, it was bread, because my grandma used to prepare mm-hmm. a lot of bread. That was also one of my favorites. Here in Czech, Czech food. I like goulash somehow, but I'm not sure if goulash is Czech, right?
That's Hungarian, but that's okay. We can say that this one is included well in our kitchen, so you can say that. We do goulash in Czech. I would say the Hungarian will be more closer to your Brazilian dishes.
I like that. Here in I like to eat rice, and people that go for lunch with me, they know that, because sometimes I have many options, but I see rice, I go for the rice, the dish with rice.
Yeah. So no knedlíky for you?
Oh,
you
no, don't like no. Knedlíky. I don't like. No, sorry for that.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm not touched by that. It's a bread in a water. So that's totally okay.
That gets bigger after you
eat. Yeah, it is. But that makes you full until the evening. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
You can maybe pass out on the chair afterwards, but it will make you full until the dinner. Okay. So that was for the dishes. And otherwise, what are your hobbies when you're not attending events or working? What are you doing?
Yeah, I like to play games, but I'm not playing that much now. Mm-hmm. I thought during the COVID I would play a lot, but no, I didn't.
Didn't happen? Okay.
I played, but not that as much as I thought, yeah. My hobby is to learn things, but not in the way you are working. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to, for example, I wanted to buy a drone, mm-hmm. but I thought, oh, instead of buying a drone, maybe I can build one.
Ooh.
So I learned how to build a drone. Mm-hmm. I bought all the parts from China, of course. And I made it.
You made it? And
yeah,
it's,
first
it's
flight
fine.
I destroyed. It was 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Then I fixed it, so I learned how to fix.
Nice.
Then I went to Cottage and I was practicing for 3 days to fly the drone.
Uh-huh.
And then I think I built some powerful thing that I don't know how to, or I'm not good at controlling.
Uh-huh. Okay. How many people or animals get hurt?
Zero. But I tried to control the drone. It was in Sneshka, actually. We were in a cottage and it disappeared through the trees. And I found it almost 500, because of GPS, right? 500 meters far from our cabin. I found
it.
And it was in someone's garden.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And when I was behind the bushes trying to catch the drone, the owner came speaking in Czech.
Uh-huh, okay.
What are you doing here? And then I had half of drone because other half was broken. Yeah. Well, going back to the topic, I like to do this kind of things. I mean, random things. So I bought these days VR glasses because I want to develop something. When I was a kid, I think my parents, they were a little bit pissed off with me because and they put me in everything they could. So for example, I went to music school for 4 years. So I learned how to play keyboards and flute. Then I went for...
Now you have mentioned it, you know, publicly, so everyone knows. So next time you will be prepared for playing some of those.
It was so long.
You placed it publicly, so now it's out there and everyone will ask you that. Be careful about those things.
Yeah. I will practice at home.
Ah,
actually, during the COVID, I bought a keyboard because... I think my girlfriend didn't believe that I played, so she was, okay, if you play, teach me. So we bought a keyboard, so I was also teaching her how to play. And before programming, actually, I went to electronic school, so I was learning to work with hardware. I also tried to draw cartoons for 3 months. It was a disaster.
Okay.
I went for some mechanics school too. So every year my father was go to study this, go to study that, spend some time doing this. I think he didn't want me at home.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. So my hobbies are mixed. I like to find these new things and play a bit with all this. And of course, traveling. Traveling, it's another hobby. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I know, Paolo, you were... Last year you were, or 2018 or 19, you were on the north of Africa, am I right?
Yes, I went to Mauritania to take the train. that 2.5 kilometers long train for 24 hours. Yeah, I managed.
Okay. And what was your favorite location you traveled so far?
Oh, I don't know. I like all of them.
Yeah.
It's because I traveled a lot, let's say. I think I manage around 35 countries.
Oh, nice.
And I like to go to different places. So that's why I went to Mauritania, the Sahara Desert, alone in the train, because I wanted to see it. I also went to Ukraine during the winter. It was such a different idea. It was a bit cold, let's say.
For Brazilian, I would
say.
Exactly. But it's still not so Siberia, so you can level up anytime.
Yeah, actually, it's in my list. It is in my list. I also went to...
We have a colleague from Siberia, so
you
can probably imagine it.
Okay.
Yeah. So he can probably give you some tips from there.
Nice. That's cool. I don't have a favorite, Shanice. I will be, I don't know, guessing here. What I like is traveling. So I go for backpacking, I did the whole Balkans and backpacking with public transport. It was really good. I met really nice people. I slept in a monastery.
Nice.
So all these things are really good.
So it was very adventurous.
Yes. Usually I try to go to different places just to enjoy, and because it's not predictable, right? You go to place like and you see totally different things. You meet nice people.
Actually, I do this also in Czech, and I do it like we have a meetup time on the railway station or wherever, and we take whatever we like from the table. So we don't plan it. And as well, we don't plan when we are hopping off the train. We are just like, okay, that's nice. We can hop off. So we do. And we just like stroll around. And we found so many beautiful places which were like, there were no one. Like, there's so quiet and peaceful places there. Mm-hmm. Even if the train was full of tourists. So yeah, I like that one. Unpredicted journeys.
Yeah, that's nice. I like hiking and doing this, not as you do, but that's good. Traveling is always good.
All right. I think that we can jump to another traditional question, and that is, are you reading a lot? And if so, what are your favorite books?
No, I usually read some technical things for the work, so at home I don't read too much.
Yeah, as I mentioned with Indra and Alexei, this is the number one book in Apollo. Everyone is reading the documentations.
Yeah, but I did read last month that book, Sapiens, because I went for treatment for 15 days and I had to stay 2 hours. I could have just a book, so I read that book. And I was also reading a book that is called Improvisation for Theater. I don't know, I saw that book and I was reading like how to behave and this and that in the improvisation, the theater. But I don't know what to recommend, so, and I don't have a favorite one. So.
Okay. And how about the TV shows? Are you watching this?
Yeah, but I'm not that fan. I watch like, for example, Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. I watched this last Squid Game. Mm-hmm. That Handmaid's Tale, it's quite interesting, but I also cannot recommend. Usually, I see the trailer, say, that's good. But the thing is that I have bad memory for such things, and sometimes I watch, and then next week, I don't remember exactly the episode, so I have to watch this, you know, 5 minutes of, catch up.
To recap.
Yeah, recap.
But you know, you can watch the whole series all over again and you would be surprised as the first time.
That's
nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we exhausted you today, Paolo. Thank you for that. One last question. Do you have anything you want to say to our listeners? Any wisdom you want to share?
Oh my God.
That's a tricky one.
Well, I would say that don't do your best every day. And I say that because...
That's such a Brazilian thing to say.
What? No. It's because I learned that if you do your best every day, or you try to do your best every day, you get obsessed. And then, I don't know, when you forget about that, you end up doing like better. So don't think about that. Don't do your best every day, and or don't think about that at least.
Yeah, you don't press yourself too much over small
things.
Good
thing.
And then you realize over a year that doesn't even matter. So
yeah,
that's quite a wisdom. So,
I hope so.
Thank you, Paolo. Okay, for the closing message, once again, thank you for joining me today, Paolo.
It was
a pleasure to chat with you, and it was fun. We learned quite a lot about your Brazilian taste.
I can't talk a lot. That's a problem.
maybe we can do a part two. It's not closed yet, so we will see, Paolo. Okay. I hope, guys, you liked it too. If you have any questions or suggestions, as usual, for the next episode, let us know. Also, I will, as usual, link all those things mentioned by Paolo, the events, on our Instagram page. And next Monday, Paolo will provide us with the top 20 playlist of, I hope, at least few Brazilian songs, so we can enjoy the Brazilian rock you mentioned.
Okay,
I wish you a wonderful rest of the week, and stay tuned for the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Apollo out.